Alright, now to correct all the half-truths is Sean's sponsor, Dan, coming up to the business.
I'm an addict, my name's Dan. And I'm grateful to be here today. I'm glad to be clean. This program has given me a life worth living. When I got here, I was a miserable wreck. Michelle just wanted to die. Couldn't get high the way I wanted to. Couldn't stop the pain. Nothing worked. Couldn't face the world. And this program has changed that. This program has given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. It's given me blessings in my life that I didn't know I wanted when I got here, that I couldn't even dare to dream of some of the stuff that I've found in my life today. And I'll tell you, I'll just tell you a little of my story. I started using, you know, as a teenager. I don't know, probably because drugs were easier to get than sex when I was 13. So I think that, you know, that was probably it. And I found escape, you know, and I found the same kinds of stuff Sean said. You know, I found, like, I felt okay. You know, I felt like I could be cool. I felt like I could talk to people. I felt like I could go out and interact with people. And I didn't have that without them. And I just felt like they were the solution to everything. Drugs, whatever it was, whatever you had, whatever's in front of me, that was the solution. And that's what I just dedicated my life to. You know, I decided, you know, my family, my parents were hardworking. They took good care of me. I had everything, never wanted for anything. You know, I mean, they couldn't ask for a better upbringing. And I rebelled against that, basically. You know, I said, I don't want that. I've got a better way. I don't need to do all that hard work. I can just use this, you know, and it'll make it okay. I don't have to bust my ass. I don't have to go to work all day every day. I can just use this, and I'll feel fine. And by the end of my using, what I was looking to do was sit as still as I could, lying on a couch, and feeling as much physical pleasure as I could. That's all I wanted. I wanted to do nothing but be pleasured by whatever it was that I could put in me. That's all. And that stopped working. You know, that just didn't work anymore. And it left me... the only solution I'd ever thought I had stopped working. And at that point, I figured that was it. You know, that was the end of the road. And at the end of my using, I tried to kill myself a couple times. And through the grace of God, I wasn't successful. And through the love of my family, was able to find my way into a treatment center that introduced me to Narcotics Anonymous. And I'll tell you, when I at the end there, when I was given the opportunity to go to treatment, it was a really difficult choice for me. I thought, I can't do that. You know, I thought that's it. You know, that's death right there. This place I went had this motto, you know, through death to life. And I thought, like, I was going to go into this place, and I thought they were going to, like, torture me. They were going to put me in, like, hair shirts, and they were going to beat me, and, like, all, I didn't know what it was. I'm going to sleep on a bed of nails. I thought it was going to be some, like, miserable torture thing to, like, do penance for all of the harm that I'd done, you know, and then maybe if I made it through that, I didn't know, but I figured I wouldn't. But I still had some love for my family, and I didn't, I kept thinking, like, what about if, you know, what would the expression on their face be, and they found me dead? And my little brother knocking on my door, telling me, you don't have to live like this. You can't take care of yourself. You're making yourself miserable. Why don't you let us help you? And I was able to take that, and not through my own power. I was graced with this willingness, and it was like just that moment of willingness. And I followed some light through that moment of willingness. And found my way into these rooms. A couple weeks later, I walked into a church they took us in a little short bus, drove us up to this little church up in Havre de Grace, Maryland, and I went in, and the place was like, there was this huge guy at the front door, first of all, who was like, I don't know. I mean, I remember him being like this tall. Like, you know, he must have been 8 feet tall, like this big, and had this huge smile. And he just gave me a big hug and said, you know, welcome. You don't ever have to use again. Mm-hmm. And I went into that church and I sat and I listened to this guy tell a story. And the story he told was my story. He told, you know, I identified with it right from the beginning. And the thing was that was different is that his story kept going where mine stopped. You know, I got to this point and I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't live the way I was living anymore. And I just wanted to die. And the choice was given to me, you know, you can go out and live in the streets or you can come to treatment. You can go to treatment. That's it. We don't want to have anything to do with you if you're not going to go to treatment. So give it a shot. And he made the other choice, you know, and then he had another 10 years of suffering and misery out there. And I listened to that and I identified with that too. And I knew that was in store for me. And I knew I couldn't take it because I couldn't take what the point where I was then. I couldn't handle it anymore. So I'm blessed that I identified with that guy enough to realize that that's what was in store for me, and that I couldn't go any further. So I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous. Came into that meeting, I felt welcome. I went back and I told my counselor, I want to go to another one. I want to go to another meeting. And I know that's not everyone's experience. I know a lot of folks come in here. And, you know, you come to your first meeting and you don't like it, and you go back out and you suffer some more, or maybe you stay, but you don't like it. I loved it right from the beginning. I came into that meeting and I felt welcome and I felt loved, and I felt like these people had been through what I've been through and were smiling and hugging each other and living a life that was worth living. And I wanted that. You know, I wanted a life worth living. And that's what I found in here. You know, I found my way into these rooms through my own bad choices and through the grace of God. And what I found in here is just an unending series of miracles. I've met people in here. I've met, you know, some of my closest friends in these rooms. I met my wife in these rooms. I met her at a convention in Baltimore in 2004. We've been married for, it's coming up on 7 years now. We have two beautiful kids, another one on the way. And, you know, being able to show up for that kind of responsibility, I could never show up for that kind of responsibility. I couldn't call you the next day, like much less show up for, you know, a relationship and be there for part of a relationship. And that's what I found in here. I found the ability to connect with another person. I've learned some of that ability to be intimate with another person, be able to share intimately with a friend, sometimes with a stranger. I've learned that in here, and that's given me the ability to be in a relationship, to develop that relationship. And I've learned that this is where I find the answers. You know, I always thought that the solution was in the drugs, and then when I found out that that was a lie, that the solution wasn't there, that that was just a path to death and misery, I was blessed to realize that there is a solution, there is an answer, there is a better way to live. And that's what Narcotics Anonymous has given me. And it's straightforward. You know, it's written right in our steps. I was told at my first meeting everything that I needed to hear, right? Come to a meeting, don't use, talk to someone else, get a sponsor, work some steps, you know, pray, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's what works. That's what's worked for me. I went to, you know, more meetings at one point than I do right now. But I go to meetings regularly. I go to two or three meetings a week. And, you know, given that I'm married and with a couple of kids and I work long hours, that's about the best I can do right now. Sometimes I need more than that, and I can make adjustments, and I can go a little bit more. And sometimes I let it slide, and I think this is going to be more important, this work. I need to stay at the office later again tonight, or I need to, you know, maybe spend some time at home or something else, and my meetings might slip. And I feel that. You know, when that happens, I feel that. I need these meetings. And I know that, you know, the program in Narcotics Anonymous has given me a better way to live, but the magic happens for me in the meetings. You know, that's where I identify with other addicts. And that's what I need, is to identify with other addicts. Because as soon as I start thinking I'm different, I'm separate from, I'm alone, my disease gets at me and starts digging at me and saying, you don't need to go there. That's not, you know, there's something more important. There's something that's going to give you you know, a greater return on your investment of time if you go, you know, stay later at the office that day, or you know, whatever it is, or just, you know, lie on the couch and watch TV. And I need these meetings. You know, I need all of you to help me to live and to help me to continue to show up for the responsibilities in my life that this program has given me. So when I got here, I didn't have any responsibilities. I wasn't employable. I couldn't do anything. You know, when I first got out of treatment, my responsibility was to get up, brush my teeth, and get to a meeting. And I'm grateful for that. You know, I'm grateful that's where I was at the beginning. And little by little along the way, other responsibilities have found their way into my life. And just by taking the next step, by doing the next thing, and just, you know, even when I'm afraid, even when I don't think I can possibly handle it, just walking through that with the help of people in here, I find that I can. And that's, you know, that's just a blessing. That's a miracle, because I couldn't handle anything on my own at the end. So my experience with, you know, with living the program, so the topic is that I show up at meetings, I work steps, I talk to my sponsor, probably not as often as I should, but I've just recently switched sponsors. I'm talking to him more often now. And trying to apply the principles that are in those steps in my daily life, trying to figure out how to use what I write about in those steps, how I can use those principles in my daily life to find the courage, the willingness to walk through the next challenge that's in my life. And I found that there's nothing that they don't work on. I found that this program works on everything if I show up and bring it to the program. It gives me what I need. The people in here, individually, I've been let down from time to time, but not collectively. I've never had the program let me down. I've never had the meetings let me down. When I felt sometimes that, you know, a meeting let me down, it was me. You know, it was me. Because I'm not, you know, I can be hard-headed. I can be self-righteous. I can be defiant. I can think I know best, and I can talk to you about that. And it leaves me feeling apart from, you know, it leaves me disconnected. And that's what can lead to leaving me alone and suffering the way I was at the end of my easing. And I don't ever want to go back to that, you know, and I know I don't ever have to go back to that. My good friend Richard over there told me early on in my recovery that as long as I can remember that there's nothing so good or bad in my life that using won't make it worse, I'll be all right. And that's been a lesson that's helped me more than he may know. Because it's, you know, that's the truth. Like, I can fall into self-pity. I can think, like, I can't handle this. This isn't going to work. You know, maybe I should try something different. Maybe NA isn't the answer. Maybe I should try something else. And as soon as I start thinking like that, I make myself miserable. And I isolate myself from the help that's available to me. And I suffer. And people around me suffer. And so far, my experience has been that I've been blessed to be able to reach out at some point before it gets too bad, before I go back out. I've been clean for, I got clean in 2003, so I've been clean for a little over 10 years. And, you know, that's a miracle. That's a miracle in this program. Because I didn't, well, once I really got into it, I didn't stay clean a day. You know, I never even considered it. It was never even a consideration that I would stop using, you know, like that's just not, why would I stop using, you know? I remember there was one moment I was living down in New Orleans, and I was running this restaurant and nightclub down there, and I'd been out for like 2 days and hadn't slept and felt like I just couldn't go on anymore, and I showed up at work that day and I told my boss, I can't go on anymore. I can't, you know, I just, this is it. I can't show up. We had this big party that night that I was supposed to be preparing for. And he told me, all right, well, you know, go get yourself together, do what you need to do. So I called this girl that I was seeing and asked her if she'd drive me out to the beach in Pensacola, Florida. So we drive out from New Orleans out to the beach, and I was going to, like, get my shit together. I was going to get it together, you know. And I told her, and don't bring any drugs, because I can't do that. I can't do any more of that. And she's like, can I bring some beer? I'm like, yeah, probably. That'd probably be all right. Sure enough, you know, we didn't make it to Pensacola. And my life continued to go downhill from there. And that's about the closest I got to quitting using before I found myself miserable and broken and in these rooms. So when I got in here and I found, you know, when using had been the solution to everything, I found, you know, and that it, I found that it didn't work, I had to, you know, I had to come in here and ask for help. And I was broken enough that I was willing to ask for help. I was beaten badly enough that I was willing to actually ask other people for help and to listen to what she said. The guy, the day before I left treatment, the guy, an NA member, told me, tomorrow, when you get out of here, whatever you do, go to a meeting. He said, you know, don't make some excuse why you need to go have dinner with your family, or you need to go see this old friend, or you need to go talk to that girl, or any of that. Go to a meeting, and if you don't, you're going to die. And I believed him. I believed him. And so I went, and I showed up. And from that point on, you know, I showed up at a meeting, you know, at least a meeting a day, as long as, you know, as long as my life allowed for it, which was, you know, a few years. I was going to school. You know, I went back to school. I was trying to figure out what the hell I was going to do. I'd worked in the restaurant and bar industry for a long time, and I knew I tried to do that for about 2 days when I got clean. And I remember standing there, like, serving this tray of liquor to these people, and I said, nah, this is not going to work. And I called my sponsor at the time, and I asked him, you know, what am I going to do? I can't do this job. He's like, why don't you call them and tell them that you can't work there anymore? Why don't you try to get a different kind of job? And I thought, no, they need me. They need me. And he, you know, he let me know, no, they probably don't need you, and they definitely don't need who you'll become if you stay there, because you have a long track record of what happens there, which ends up, you know, betraying trust and stealing to use. That's what my using was like. So I found my, you know, I found a better way to live through these rooms, and I'm grateful for that. I quit that job, and I figured maybe I'll go to school. That'll buy me some time, figure out what I want to do. So I went to, I failed out of college like 3 times while I was using, because I never went to class, because I do things like, well, I got a final exam. I could go to that final exam, or I could eat a bunch of acid. And guess which one went out, you know? So, and then I didn't show, like, it's hard to show up for the exam then. I failed out of college a few times, wasted a whole bunch of money not going to class. And I decided when I, you know, education's always been important in my family. Both my parents have, you know, good educations and professional careers. And I had, you know, rebelled from that. That was part of my, you know, not following the good, orderly direction that my parents had given me. And so, you know, through a little bit of willingness, I decided I'll go back to school. So I went and talked to the counselor at the university near my house. And I said, you know, I'd like to take some classes, and I'd like to re-enroll in school. And I showed him my transcript, and he said, yeah, why don't you come show up for some classes, not as a student? Why don't you just take some non-degree classes for a little while and see if you like it? You know, see if it works. Because your track record doesn't look like it worked in the past. And I said, well, all right. So I did that, you know, and I showed up and I took a couple classes. I went as a non-degree student, and I loved it. And I went to all my classes. I did all my work. I did more. I spent all my time in the library when I was basically in meetings or at the library, and I loved it. And I found that, you know, when I actually showed up for it, I did well, you know. And so after, you know, I got a couple A's, and then I went back and I said, can I enroll now? He said, why don't you do that again? Why don't we do another semester? So I did that again, and it ended up, you know, I enrolled there. I graduated, you know, near the top of my class, and I did really well when I actually applied myself, when I actually showed up, you know, like I always showed up for the drugs, you know. I always chased that. I always went, you know, I'm an addict. I have obsession and compulsion. That's at my core nature. I can obsess and compulse about a lot of different things. Some of those can be positive to a degree, You know, when it's to the exclusion of everything else, it can become a problem. But, you know, I just dove into it. I had the time, I had the ability to do it, so I just dove in. And I found some passion. I found some good orderly direction in my life, something that I was actually passionate about, that wasn't killing me and wasn't harming people around me. So I did that. Graduated from college, decided I wanted to do something that was going to let me help addicts. That's the kind of work that I wanted to do. I didn't know how to do that. And something along the way decided me that I, you know, helped me decide that I wanted to go to law school. So I did that. You know, I decided I wanted to go to law school and I wanted to be a public defender. That I wanted to be able to go into court and help folks who didn't have the same kinds of interactions with the police that I'd had. Because a lot of my actions, you know, there's no reason why I shouldn't be locked up right now. For some of the stuff that I did and for some of the interactions I had. And I'm not. I'm free. I'm here and I'm clean. And I've been blessed with an opportunity to help other people who haven't been quite that lucky. That's a result of this program. And I'm able to connect with folks, you know. I mean, I'm an addict too, so like we can connect. We can figure it out. And you're not gonna bullshit me. I know, you know. I know when you're lying. Which is a good skill to have in a particular line of work. So. And this, I found this career that has helped me to show up and to help repair some of the wreckage that we do in this world, and some of the suffering that we go through as a result of our using. And I love it, you know, and I feel fulfilled and I feel blessed to be able to do it. And it allows me to, you know, to live a life to feel good about what I'm doing, which is, you know, I mean, that's what I need. I need to find something that helps me to feel good about what I'm doing, because I don't want to just get by, right? I did that. I don't want to just sit there and not do anything and try to feel some kind of pleasure. That's not what I want to do today. I've learned through this program that, you know, the path to fulfillment is through hard work. You know, that's what I found in here. And, man, if my dad could hear me say that, he'd be like, who the fuck is that? Because that sure as hell wasn't who I was, you know, growing up. I was always trying to avoid responsibility, put it off till later. No, I don't want to, I'm not gonna mow the lawn. I'm not going to rake the leaves. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow. You know, why should I have to do that? There was some reason why someone else should have to do it. And, you know, I'm now with two little kids. I get that right back at me. You know, my daughter's constantly telling me, you know, her every response starts with no, but, you know, or it's always like, yeah, but. She always has her own ideas. But that, you know, that's another area of my life that this program has been absolutely necessary for. I have this family now, that is everything to me. You know, it's my life. I come home and I see my wife and I see my kids, and I'm filled with love. I'm exhausted a lot of the time. You know, I work long hours and I commute through Northern Virginia, and I have two little kids who don't like to sleep as much as I'd like them to sleep, including last night. You know, we're all in one little hotel room and one wakes up, the other one wakes up, but it's good. You know, it's a blessing. And I can't be there for that relationship if I don't come into these rooms. And I know that. I know that I need this to be able to deal with the blessings that I've been given. Because alone, I can't handle it. It's too much. And that's been the case throughout. It's been one thing put on my plate, I think it's going to be too much. I don't think I'm going to be able to handle that. And then I share about it. I share about how I don't think I'm going to be able, you know, going back to school. I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. Look what I did in the past. Like, it didn't work. and say, you're different now. Why don't you give it a shot? Why don't you actually show up for it? And lo and behold, it works out. And in some cases, I even excel. Not all the time. Sometimes I'm able to show up for something, and you know, it doesn't work out the way I'd want it to work out. But I'm able to get through that. You know, I'm able to get through the disappointment, or I'm able to get through the humiliation that I might feel for something not playing out the way I wanted it to play out. Just by coming in here and showing up and talking to other addicts and asking for your help. And knowing that my answers, the answers I have in my own head, are going to get me back to where I was at the end of my using. You know, if I figure I've got this, I don't need to follow that direction. I don't need to follow this direction. I'll end up back out there, and I couldn't bear that. It was one thing at the end of my using when I felt like I didn't have anything to lose but my life. You know, now that's not the case. You know, now I have this family I love. I have this career I'm passionate about. I've reestablished relationships with my parents and with my siblings and with my wife's family. And you know, to think what, and with people here in these rooms, with sponsees, with sponsors, with home group members. All those relationships are vital to my life today. That's what this program has given me, is all of those relationships and the ability to show up for them. And that's not to say that I always show up the way other folks would like me to, because I sure as hell fall short plenty of times. And sometimes I'm not particularly pleasant to be around. Sometimes the stress and the cyclical thinking in my head that tells me things ought to be other than they are gets the better of me, and I lash out, you know, and I say things I wish I hadn't said, or I, you know, stomp my feet like a little kid, or slam the door, or slam the cupboard, or any of that kind of shit that I'll do. And then I feel like shit afterwards. and then I see my kid do it, and I'm like, oh, I wonder where you learned that, you know? Must be from your mom. But I have the sense to know now that that I need this program to continue moving forward in this life that I've been given, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the program. I'm grateful for everything it's given me. I don't know how much time I have left, but I don't know. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about one of the steps that I think is crucial to this whole process for me, that I've been thinking about a lot lately, and it's the third step, and I feel like that's a big part of how I decide to live this program. You know, that I make that decision that this is where I'm going to find my answers, this is where I'm going to find my solutions, this is where I find what works. And once I've made that decision, I may question it after the fact. I may think, just like any other decision I make in my life, I'll second guess myself. I'm full of self-doubt at times. But I can look back and say, well, you know, I made the decision. This is the decision I made. I'm going to do this. This is where I'm going to look for my answers. And as long as I stick to that, as long as I come back to this program for those solutions, things continue to get better. So I think that's probably enough out of me. But I appreciate y'all being here, and thanks for letting me share.
Give it up again for Sean.